Do we have Martin O'Muller? Hello there, Martin O'Muller. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Adrian, and thanks for coming up, for you and Anya for coming up to see us in Iona University in New Rochelle. Yesterday it was a very nice gathering, but it was all the better for both of you being there.
Yeah, well, first of all, this is your third, campfire. It is a tremendous event, and the topic and the theme of this third, Shaping the Future of Irish America. That is a theme and a topic that we seem to have, you know, Martin. We've put that on the back burner because it's easier, and it has been easier, and you know, each time that's brought up, we say, yeah, we're going to get around that, but we're having, you know, a tough time as it is now with the pandemic and with the, you know, with inflation and one thing or another. But there was a very, the vibes yesterday at your third annual big Irish campfire at Iona University, the vibes were very positive. And in fact, one might say, you know, why now? And I think we got the answer yesterday, because there are some realities that up until now we've managed to shelf. Let me get your own reaction from this.
Well, look, first of all, I think we're very grateful to Iona College, now Iona University, for hosting this. And it was very, I think it was very appropriate, because the president of Iona, Seamus Carey, I think, made some really relevant comment for all of us who work in Irish America at the luncheon, especially those who live in Irish America, which I don't. And he said, you know, we really need to accentuate and emphasize what he called positive patterns of life. And what that means is, even in these difficult times, if you can try and motivate yourself and direct yourself towards activities which continue to give hope, which inject enthusiasm, which reward endeavor, and that's the way forward. And the thing for me is, when we, and you're right, we always say we'll do the big picture tomorrow. But actually, in the room, there were people who were building for tomorrow, despite the rest of us, you know. And I think especially of our friend Liam Reedy, who came in from San Francisco. And that's a bit of a commute to attend a one-day conference, Adrian. And yeah, you know, they have now this $60 million plan to build a new Irish center. I have no doubt that is a bit of competition with the magnificent Irish Art Center in New York, which opened during COVID. So they're almost motivating each other to do more. So while some of us aren't sure how we will get this master plan, and we were there maybe to look at the bigger picture, really what the lesson I learned yesterday was, look at what the Catholic Junction Arts Center is doing in St. Paul, Minnesota. We saw Natalie Nugent O'Shea coming down yesterday. Look at the Irish Heritage Museum in Cincinnati, a full city block, and with Maureen Kennedy down Jordan with us yesterday. So that gave me great hope for the future. And you know, there's an old saying the Buddhists have, Adrian, you and I always end up talking about the Buddhists, but they say it's always not. Yeah. So that was the message I got yesterday. While some of us may be planning and wondering and thinking, there's some people that are punching and getting things done right now.
So true. And just gathering, and bear in mind, friends, that not everybody would undertake to bring together in a very hot August summer, not only people, you know, not only very dedicated people from Ireland, but right across the United States. And amazingly, listening to, you know, we sometimes think, Mark, you know, Mueller, that, you know, different areas, they'll have different ideas, they'll have, you know, they they may not be listening to one another. But I think it starts, and you've proven this to be true, it starts with the common goal. And I think that at this stage, a lot of people are realizing that we're not at our strongest at this stage of the game. Many would acknowledge that, you know, we're to a degree losing, you know, the influence of Irish America. And there are two things to do. One is let it go and say, God be with the old days. And the other, of course, is to do something about it and not wait for, you know, the ancient Holy Ghost, now the Holy Spirit, to descend upon us. We have to take the bull by the horns and make sure that we do it, hopefully in unison, right across the United States. If we're going to do something about, you know, maintaining the interest and the influence of Irish America, we need to get that started, because it is slipping away from us.
Well, and, you know, you're doing that every week because you work the deadline. You have to, you know, continue to inform, educate, entertain Irish America. So people like yourself are getting things done. And there yesterday in the room, I think at the lunch of about 120 people, was not New York centric. We probably, Ohio was the most represented state, because we had Marilyn Madigan, the president of Ladies AOH, Danny O'Connell, the president of the AOH. We had people from DC. We had over 100 people watching online, including San Antonio, San Diego, Seattle, Chicago. And the thing that unites them all, and this continues to astonish me, even though I've been had the privilege of working with Irish America for 15 years, but the depth of the passion, the love for Irish America, the erudition, the brilliance. And I sneaked away from our beautiful theater room we had yesterday for the talks and debates and presentations in the morning. I went upstairs in the Ryan Library in Iona University. And of course, we were in the Burke Lounge. We were in the Ryan Library. And they had this magnificent, priceless collection of Irish books, which are being used, you know, really comprehensive selection of Irish books. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm not sure how many libraries in Ireland have a collection to compare with that. And that was just one jewel or one gem, if you wish, which reflected or epitomized the Irish American crown jewels that were gathered there yesterday. And, you know, we finished off, we probably did too much, to be honest, even because we in that searing heat. And what a crazy time to organize anything. But in Irish America, you never get the perfect time. But, you know, 19th of August, in the searing heat of New Rochelle, we walked up North Avenue in New Rochelle with Rob Walsh, who's a great advocate for everything we do. We had a walking tour, came back for a finale, and we had Professor Christine Keneally up in Quinnipiac, the Institute of Ireland's Great Hunger. There was more great work. And then the person who really finished off was Brendan Cremins. He now is a consultant in D.C. He flew planes for the Navy in dangerous, very dangerous times. A young man, new generation. And what he said, he'd been re-centered in Irish America. And it was great for me to have people who don't usually go to these events, but who are committed to their St. Patrick's Day parade, who are committed to their Irish heritage. But here they were gathered together, I think giving each other a battery charge, if you wish. And that's, I suppose, we didn't expect to have all the answers on how we would shape together the future of Irish America. But my goodness, there was no lack of willing hands to do the work, and the people here really have the ability, the experience, the genius to get it done. So, you know, I just thought it was really pleasing to see so many people, sometimes working in their own silos, but they are committed to transatlantic work, but also working with others in Irish America. So another good day, let's see what Campfire 4 looks like. Does it have to be right in the heart of the summer? I have this idea that Campfire has to be somewhere around the summer. But, you know, even Irish Americans do go on vacation occasionally, Adrian. So there are other people who would love to get there and read a busier time of the year.
Frankly, I didn't hear anybody complaining yesterday. And but, you know, Iona, of course, known as Iona College, that has recently been upgraded to university status. Not indeed that it took long enough. But the keynote speaker and the president, Seamus Cary, most of us felt that he would, you know, basically come in and welcome us all and wish us luck, and that would be it. He was so knowledgeable and supportive. And again, he's not just, he's an Irish-American. He's somebody who's undertaken, you know, Iona College was on the brink of bankruptcy. And now, you know, has a new president, a whole slew of Irish named, and I would assume Irish American helpers, those who are with him in well, first of all, making sure that the university is indeed not only just thriving, but he's in the fast lane. But were you, like the rest of us, surprised that here is somebody who's, A, knowledgeable, and secondly, very supportive, if not outspoken, on how Irish America should be, you know, moving forward, and that this, you know, that yesterday and what you are actually doing in holding these, you know, campfires, the annual campfire where you bring in people from all over the world. He seemed to be not just a bystander, but a willing participant.
Yeah, you know, one of the, I think, lessons from yesterday, and I learned this from even the short time I've known Seamus Cary, is right across America, there are these absolute heroes of Irish America who we don't meet that often, but they're deeply proud of their heritage. But they also are given agency to that heritage. They're involved in activity which reflects that, which it builds a stronger community. They've given a, you know, they've reflected on their Irishness. It's so much more than just, you know, a 17th of March fad. And, you know, Seamus Cary, one of the many amazing facts about it is that he played hurling and football for New York, the highest level. But he was the only American-born player on both teams. So when he said yesterday, and you saw he went off script to say GAA New York is not living up to its billing, needs to unite, it should be a huge powerhouse, it's underperforming. And he was mentioning that in the context of the advice he was given, I think with some humility, but giving the advice to Irish America. Who are we? Where are we going? How are we going to move forward? What are our values? And it's clear that he's brought that concept, that philosophy to bear in Iona. But, you know, so there he was, and I think he was, you know, we wouldn't have been in Iona if it wasn't for the generosity of Iona College and the university. The staff were amazing. They embraced the idea. But wasn't it fantastic, you know, to be able to say, we also had Chris Cook up from North Carolina, who's a piper. We had Sonny Hereford from Huntsville, Alabama. When's the last time you ever had an Irish American event where we were able to say, here's a gentleman from Huntsville, Alabama, who integrated the public school system in Alabama at the age of six. But his father, of course, Sonny Hereford III, in 1963. And yet he's a stand up and standard an Irish American as anyone you've ever met in another 50 grad and so on. So, we're only scratching the surface in my view. I mean, there's so many people out there that want to do more for Irish America. I think the Irish government has done good work in this regard. I think the peace process brought out the very best of Irish America because it's united around common objectives relating to the peace process and so on. But that's the thing that that always strikes me. We're still only scratching the surface. There are thousands, in my view, the Seamus Carey is a standard, exemplary Irish America. But I'll also say this, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, Seamus Careys across Irish America. Part of our job is shine a light on them and to give them an opportunity to do more, because I think they would like to do more.
I think, though, that those of us, many who had the good fortune and the privilege of meeting, you know, all of the people from across the United States, and those with a very keen interest, not just in Irish America or the traditions, the cultural traditions, but there was nobody there yesterday who did not understand that the purpose was, this was not a backflapping party, and your you know, campfire annual event, you know, is one that will grow. And in the interim, you know, a lot of the people who were there are going back to spread the word. And, you know, even before, you know, they came to Iona University yesterday for the campfire meeting, we learned that there are so many different tentacles, aspect to Irish America we didn't even know, and that part I think is incredible as well. And we saw it yesterday. And congratulations again bringing you know, the Irish Echo events, the Irish Echo. The sponsorship of the third campfire meetings. We were delighted to be there, and I didn't meet anybody who wasn't. Martin.
Well, look, you know, just to finish, I think the challenge for the Irish Echo from yesterday was to go and employ a community journalist. It could be based anywhere in the US, and we used to think journalists have to be based at an office in New York. But someone somewhere in the US who will report on these groups every day. Because, you know, we laugh sometimes, if we say there are three Irish events every night in New York, but there must be 30 or 100 across America. And the little challenge I'm going to take on as we talk again to say, we have a community journalist in place, and that person, that man and that woman, will be able to report on what's going on in Huntsville, Alabama, in Savannah, Georgia, in Seattle, Washington, in San Antonio, where we had people watching us yesterday as well. So there's a little challenge for us, and so that when we meet again at the campfire, God spurs us all, we'll be able to say, oh no, listen, I read about your group, I read what you're doing in Portland, Maine, in the Irish Center up there, I heard what you're doing in Canton, Massachusetts, and the Greater Boston Irish Cultural Center, and so on. So that's a challenge I've taken from it, and I have to say, even an old guy like me still can be inspired by what I saw yesterday and the endeavour and the heroism. So I'm going to take that on board and hopefully get that done, and so that we continue to build this.
Well, if there's anybody, there's anybody on the face of the earth that would want to, and you know, many of us would like to, you know, solve so many of the world's problems. But if there's somebody who wants to take that, which is a huge commitment and a huge challenge, it would have to be our friend, and indeed somebody who has had a stellar career in getting things done. Martin O'Muilor doesn't walk, you know, just doesn't talk the talk, he walks the walk. And we're delighted, again, Martin, with your success and this new goal of yours. My God, are we ever thrilled about that? Okay, have a good trip back to Belfast. Gormir Mahagat.
Thank you. Slangafoyne.
Yeah, slong. Friends, they're in talking to marching on Wheelor and to see, you know, this is a community leader, somebody who has actually built the bridges in the height of, you know, the aftermath of the Troubles and with the onset of, you know, of Brexit and, you know, pandemic, whatever. This is a fellow who plows through, almost oblivious, you know, to the fact that, you know, that there are bigger fish to fry. No. Fair play to Martin O'Mueller and what he does on both sides of the Atlantic.